one, but every church, I want you to know this. Look at the very bottom. It says, anybody that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is for you. This is for me. Okay? So here's what happened last week. We said, hey, these are the words, the amen, the faithful and true witness. These are the words of Jesus, the ruler of God's creation. And Jesus says this. Look at verse 15. Everybody look up here. He says, I know your deeds, all of you. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold, and I wish you were one or the other, but because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And what we talked about last week is that, one, God knows you. He knows every deed, every thought, every action. And that lukewarm is indigestible to God. I mean, he hates it. He says, I'd rather you be cold. I'd rather you just run away from me and denounce me and tell everybody that you're an atheist or worse, but don't be lukewarm. Don't confess me with your lips, but deny me with your lifestyle. All right? So he says, I wish you were either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. That is sick. But the last sentence in there, before the very bottom in verse 16, he says, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And I told you guys that God is very patient and very loving with us, and that he hasn't destroyed us yet for our lukewarmness. And I say our because it's yours and it's mine. It's all of us are lukewarm at times. And I challenged you. I said, I dare you to move. If you're lukewarm, or if there's a part of your life that is lukewarm, maybe there's one compartment that you have over here that just God never touches. I said, I dare you to move from lukewarm to either hot or cold, but call it what it is, all right? And that was the challenge last week. Well, we're going to move on to verse 17 here, so let's click to the next slide. He keeps talking to this church, and he says this. He says, you're neither hot or cold, you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And he says, you guys say this. You say, I'm rich. Hey, a lot of you guys could say I'm rich. You're not yourself, but your family is. You say, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need a thing. I was talking to one of my 10th grade guys just yesterday. I was hanging out with him, and I said, if there's one thing that you could need in your life right now that you don't have, what would that be? And he just sat there. And he couldn't think of a thing that he needed in his life. And finally, he thought of something. He said, more boldness. But it took him a long time to think of something he needed in his life that he didn't already have. And so that's kind of how these people were. He said, you guys say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing. But then listen to what Jesus says. He says, but you don't even realize that you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. And I counsel you to buy gold from me, refined by the fire, so you can become rich, really rich. You can have white clothes to wear that are pure and cover your nakedness, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you could see, or something that if basically contacts to put in your eyes so you can see better. And then 19 says, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. And this morning, the dare, the movement, is a little bit of a rebuke, because a lot of times you guys live this independent lifestyle, like you don't need a thing, and you can, this is a classic teenage deal when you're turning 12 and 13, when you feel like you can handle your own life, and you don't need a thing. And I want to dare you to move from independence this morning to dependence. And let me share with you this news story I was telling you about. Listen to this. This was in, let me see if it says where it was. In Bangladesh, okay? This is in India. And here's what happened, and I'm just going to read the short blurb here. It says, a boy in Bangladesh complained of a stomach ache, and doctors discovered, this is a 16-year-old boy, by the way, a 16-year-old boy in Bangladesh complained of a stomach ache. Has anybody ever had a stomach ache? Okay. Right now? Well, let me tell you this. It wasn't anchovies that caused his stomach ache. 16-year-old boy complained of a stomach ache, and he goes to the doctor. And the doctors discover, you ready? Doctors discovered a fetus in his abdomen. A fetus is an unborn baby. Apparently, the 4.5-pound fetus was the 16-year-old boy's undeveloped twin. They said that that apart from the head, which was really tiny, all of the arms and legs were fully developed. And it was a condition known as fetus in fetus, or inclusion twin, which means that the tiny fetus entered the other baby while they were in the mother's stomach, and it grew inside of the other baby, and he grew 16 years with a 4.5-pound fetus inside of him that was obviously not growing anymore. I mean, it died when he was born, but he was born with another baby in him, and they never knew it for 16 years. How weird is that? 16 years, this guy lived and didn't know he had a 4.5-pound undeveloped baby with a little tiny head. And I thought about showing you the pictures. It was nasty, so I didn't. But for 16 years, he lived with this thing inside of him. And he every once in a while would have stomach aches. And finally, it bothered him enough that he went and he said, "I think there's something wrong with my stomach." And doctors go, "Well, let's see. Let's do an x-ray." "Baby!" And and they go, I just thought that was the weirdest thing. And if I hadn't seen the pictures, I would not have believed it. But you know, when I tell you that story, that's kind of how we are. All right? Listen, this is how it's like you. I can go through life with a stomach ache, and I can sometimes do things and I forget that it's there if I have a stomach ache, but then later when I stop, I feel it. And a lot of times, we go through life like nothing's wrong. And the fact of the matter is probably nobody in this room has a baby in their stomach, okay? You're a little bit bitter, aren't you? You volunteered to come up here after you knew what was happening. I'll eat one later when I'm home, when I'm at home. I'll do it when I'm at home. Listen, but we go through life like nothing's wrong, but the reality is there's something gross inside of us. Anchovies. Not anchovies, but it's been there for a long time. As long as you've been alive, this guy went 16 years and he realized, I've got something gross inside of us. And we've got this tumor of sin that's inside of us, and we all have problems that are a result of our own sin. And the first point I want you to write down is it's easy to look like everything's all good, okay? This kid went 16 years and no one would have imagined that he had his twin brother in his stomach. It was easy for 16 years to look like it's okay. You guys, in life, it is easy to go to school, go to practice, go home, come here, go to small group, do whatever, and look on the surface like nothing's wrong. Like nothing's wrong. I have a friend that I found out his sophomore year in high school when he was 16 years old. I had known this kid for a long time. For several years, I had known him. But I didn't find out until sophomore year that his father was an alcoholic and there was always fighting and turmoil in their house. He made it so, it was so easy for him to make it, and that's a big problem, to make it look like everything was okay on the surface. Until I found out the truth. And it's just like this kid that went through his life for 16 years, it looked like everything was okay. All of us have problems. That's the second point I want you guys to write down, is we all have problems. It's easy to look like everything's all good, but the truth is there's problems inside all of us. I asked you guys in this room a couple years ago, so it was some of the older kids were in here too, but I said, hey, what's the biggest problem you face in your life? And I gave them like 10 minutes just to sit down and think about it. And here are some of the answers. I want to throw these up here for you. I don't know if you can see the red ones. It says disappointing people, feeling scared, feeling small, focusing on homework, friends, friendship, getting beat up by my brother, getting good grades, gossip grades, homework. And you can read them faster than I can read them out loud. I really don't like my dad. I wish I could find more time for God so he could help me, but I often put him aside. Death, losing a family member. Go to the next slide. These are some more things I had down on y'all's list that you wrote down. My grandma's cancer, death in the family, my parents are divorcing. I'm not good at anything. People make fun of me. Not fitting in, not being liked. Put downs, rejection, feeling useless. Go on to the next one. There's more. Remembering friends who I had a good relationship with who I don't see anymore because of popularity differences. Suicide. When my best friend started not talking to me. When I make my mom sad. When people talk behind my back and spread rumors about me that aren't true. I mean, which one of these is you? And when you stop and look at it that way, and you look at a list, you go, wait, unfairness, I got that. I think nobody likes me, that's a problem. I mean, you go down this list, people call me short, whatever it is, we all have problems. But we go through life like everything's all good. But the fact of the matter is we all have problems. Which one is yours? I left an extra space on your deal after we all have problems for when you guys go home to write down which ones are you. I want you to write down what your struggles are, what your problems are, what the trouble is. And here's where we're going to kind of jump back to the passage. We don't have to go back to it here. But I want to tell you that lukewarmness in your life, the essence of lukewarmness, the definition of lukewarmness, or a symptom of lukewarmness in your life is independence. When you try to say, I'm independent, I don't need anybody's help, sure, I have problems in my life, but I don't need anything from anybody, and I'm okay. The essence of lukewarmness is independence. Now, a lot of you guys would go, the quote there is, I need nothing. And if I asked you guys, you know, what do you need? Are you needy? Do you need God? I think everybody, if I asked you, do you need God, you would say yes, all right? But let me just tell you this. The test of how you know whether or not you really mean that, if you need God, is this. It's not how you feel inside. It's not what you think. It's not what you say. I want everybody to think about this. The test of whether or not you really think you need God is how much you pray and how deep your prayers are and how much you depend on Him. So here's your test. Am I lukewarm or not? Am I trying to be independent or dependent on God? Think about your last week and go, how much was I on my knees telling God, I need you. I cannot handle this life. I cannot handle myself on my own, but I need you every minute of every day. And I'm hopeless and I'm helpless without you, God. Or do you say, oh, I'm rich, I don't need a thing. And God says, no, you really are poor, pitiful, blind, wretched, and naked. And I want to give you riches, and I want to give you health, and I want to give you purity, and I want to give you all these things, but stop trying to do it on your own. But you say, no, I don't really need God, so I don't even need to pray. How much do you pray? How deep are your prayers? How desperate are your prayers? That's your gauge, not what you think in your head, not what you feel. Because you can say, oh yeah, I believe I need God all day long. But unless you show it with your life, when you, it's just you and God in the private and the quiet parts of your day, of your week, you don't really think and believe that you really need God. And the challenge this morning is to move from independence of lukewarmness to dependence on God. You see, the essence of Christianity is dependence. This is the foundation of trusting Christ. He hung on the cross so that we would depend on Him as our Savior. We are made to depend and live off of God and from God. And the essence of Christianity is dependence. And there's a song that I want to play for you and show you the lyrics, and then we're going to wrap up. It's a very simple talk. The talk is very simple. It is this. You want to review it here? It's easy to look like everything's all good, but we all have problems. And if you're a lukewarm person, you're going to try to be independent and not let anybody know about your problems, not take them to God and just deal with them. The essence of Christianity is depending on God and His word and His body that He's given us, other people. That's faith. And the dare is to move from an independent lifestyle to a dependent on God lifestyle. And there's a song I'm going to play for you. It's called Declaration of Dependence, and it's by a guy named Stephen Curtis Chapman. And I was reading an article about, he wrote this song a few years ago when he wrote it, and they were asking him, how'd you get the idea for this song called Declaration of Dependence? Because we've all heard of the Declaration of Independence, but this is a little bit different. He said this, I got the idea when I was running on a treadmill one day. I was watching music videos and I saw Bon Jovi singing It's My Life. You guys heard that song? It's my life, it's now or never. Okay, he was singing this song and he was listening and I thought, here we go. I thought that's the anthem of our culture. But what I believe is totally opposite. It's not my life. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. The thing that I call my life is actually God's life. And I'm totally the opposite because the song of dependence on God is the real song of independence. And I wanted to make an opposite statement. Instead of a declaration of independence, I'm making a declaration of dependence. And after I finished running on the treadmill, I got my guitar and put down a chorus on tape. And then I wrote the rest of the song later. And so I want you guys to look at the lyrics of this song. We're going to play it. We're going to turn off the lights. You can read the lyrics. And I want you to think about, boy, the first verse talks about a flower needing the sun. You realize a flower will wither and die if it doesn't have the sunlight. Do you need God the way a flower needs the sun? And how do you show it? How do you stretch out to him the way a flower stretches out and opens up to the sky? Well, listen to the song, read the lyrics, and we'll wrap up.
The day I overheard a flower talking to the sky. He said, you know that I would be nothing without you. Oh, oh. He said, you give me rain, you give the sun a place to shine. You're everything that my whole existence comes down to. Oh, oh. Then the flower started singing a song. Before I knew it, I was singing. We sang, this is my declaration of dependence. This is my declaration of my name. This is my declaration of dependence. All of the world gave its life to me. Yeah. Now let me say that I'm the kind of guy who wants to do it all myself. Don't wanna ask for help. Like to stop for directions, oh, oh. But in reality, I'm nothing on my own. It's by God's grace alone that I can make this confession. Whoa, whoa. All that I am and all I'm hoping to be is all that.
Beats that chorus there a couple times. Thank you for clapping for that song. You know, but that song, I want that to be the declaration of my life. And I want to wrap up with this. The boy who they found his twin brother inside of him when he was 16. What do you think he did when he found out about that? He probably freaked out and threw up, yes. But after that, what do you think he just said? All right, just leave it there. No. They probably said, get it out of me. They probably did some surgery. They probably had it removed. They probably sewed him back up. You think he did the surgery himself? No. He was dependent on the doctors and the surgeons to lay him down on that table, to cut him open, and to remove that thing from his life. And there was no way he could do it himself. Let me just tell you guys this. The problems that we all face, and that I know you guys face in junior high, you cannot handle them yourself. If you want to be lukewarm, be independent and try. But if you want to follow Christ, be dependent on him and say, hey, I can't do this myself. I cannot remove this problem or this pain from my life on my own. And I'm just going to lay down and I need you. You start doing that, your prayers will start being real. And you'll start seeing them answered. And you'll start praying more. And you'll grow closer and closer to the Lord, to the one who gave his life for you. Let this be your declaration of dependence and your need on Christ. I dare you to move from independence to dependence. It's not a bad thing to depend on somebody else. We all need it. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you gave your life for me. And I thank you that I know that I do not have to handle the problems that I'm facing on my own and that I can just depend on you every day. And I pray that my prayer life would match up with my thought life when I think that I need you, that I would really display that I need you by coming and bringing every request, every part, every praise to you in my life, and that I would show my life to be a declaration of dependence on Jesus and not dependence on myself. And I pray for these students that their peers in their schools and in the circles of friends that they run with would see that they are dependent on you, and they would see their life change filled with joy because of what you provide. I pray that they would depend on you in everything. I pray for the students in this room that are facing real serious problems right now. That would bring them to you. They'd bring them to others who love you and know you to help them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if everybody will grab a flyer for D-Town on the way out, I believe we have some over there. If somebody can hand them out at the door. Julie, thanks. You guys make sure and get signed up for that. Stack those chairs.